All right, so you're listening to this podcast right now, London is Blue, and guess what? We host our podcast on anchor.fm. That's right. If you're looking to host your own podcast, this is the easiest free way to get started. It's got a content creation tool, allows you to record and the podcast right from a phone. That's right. Don't even need a computer, but you can do it there too. They'll also help you distribute it, which is probably the most challenging part. You don't want to have to mess with that. They got you covered. You can get it right on a Spotify and Apple Podcasts, as well as any other place podcasts are found. And you know what? You can monetize it too. Make a little cash for sharing your great content with the world. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one individual place. So you know what? Head over to your app store, download the Anchor app, or head to anchor.fm to get started if you're ready to launch your podcast and make it happen.
Hi, this is Ruben Loftus-Cheek.
This is William.
I'm Mason Mount. You're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
Hey there, Chelsea fans. Just want to do a quick update. We did record this with Gene before the Man City 3-3 draw, so keep that in mind. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit, but overall, we talk about the season up to this point and leading to the end of the season, what happened. So enjoy this. You're going to love it. On to the pod.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another episode of London is Blue podcast. This is Brandon, your host. Joining me, as always, are Dan and Nick. Gentlemen, this is going to be a good one, a special one, one that we look forward to whenever we can lock it in, Nick. I'm excited.
Yeah, we are talking about doing like a mid-season-ish update on the Chelsea women's team. Dan, who have been pretty dominant so far this year.
Well, could we say that they are potentially Chelsea's best team at the moment, Nick? I think that might be a fair statement.
I think that's accurate, yes.
You're definitely not going to ruffle any feathers. Maybe on Twitter with that one, but look, you guys and girls out there know that while we pay attention, we are no expert, and we no, there are others out there that pay more attention than us. So back joining us, as we hoped, was Jean Lalachan. Welcome back.
Hello.
And you have been quite busy staying up to speed with the women's football game in Europe, haven't you?
Yeah, definitely.
That's exciting. Well, what we're going to do today is, you know, we're going to do a season kind of review, like Nick said, a midpoint update. The last time we spoke about the women's team was right around the start of the season. So since then, the Chelsea women have been on a great run of form and potentially, you know, are definitely in the title race. So right away, if we jump into the squad, Dan, Emma Hayes was busy in her own transfer window, wasn't she? Splashing the cash.
Yeah, and it's helpful when you can sign players, and Chelsea women were allowed to do just that. I think the most exciting potential signing, at least from a American perspective, and you know, Sam Kerr was playing in the NWSL, so that was super cool to see her come from Chicago into Chelsea's first team. How do you think, Jean, she's going to impact the run through the rest of the season? I know previously when we talked, we weren't sure if she was going to make the way over the last time we spoke, but now that she's a part of Chelsea, that she's in the club, how excited are you and how do you think this is going to help us over the line?
Well, I think she's already shown that she's going to have a great impact because she already started two games so far since January. And she played one game. She came on as a substitute, and she scored one goal as well. And she scored a goal against Arsenal. I mean, scoring your first goal in a London derby, you know, you get that feeling straight away, like what it means to play for Chelsea. And obviously, I was very excited when I got the news that she signed. I didn't expect it. I saw the rumors about it, but I didn't think it was going to happen. And yeah, I think everyone got hyped by it. I think she's not at 100% yet. I've seen actually that she got an injury and she's been playing with it since her start with Chelsea. That's why she's not playing all the games with the Australian national team right now. So yeah, I'm excited to see how she's going to be when she's going to be at the top of her form. Sorry. And I mean, she's a brilliant player. I think she's the all-time leading top scorer in the NWSL and the Australian Women's League, if I'm correct. So there's no doubt she'll fit in well. And with Bethany England as well. Like, what more can you ask, you know?
just a handful of goals in there.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a really good transfer into the next question, which is, how do you think that she could potentially combine, when she's able to get a little bit more regular playing time, with a Beth England, with a Gura Wrighton, with a Jisoo Yeon?
Well, I've seen that the two games that she started with Chelsea, Emma Hayes chose to put her in England up front. So it was, I think it was like the first game was like a 4-1, 3-2 or something. So they've always played, you know, next to each other, and it worked well, because in the first game against Reading, Sam Kerr provided an assist for England. So that was great. And I mean, having them two up front, it's just, you know, you go and watch a game and you know they're going to be goals today. So with Wrighton as well, to be honest, Wrighton is a fantastic player, and I think she's the top. I think she's the one with the most assists in the Chelsea team. So obviously, I think she's going to give a lot of good balls for Sam Kerr, and I think she already did it against Arsenal when Sam Kerr scored. I think it was her who passed the ball. So she'll be working well.
Well, with Girl, which is great, there's so much creativity up there. And like you said, she gives something different. We talked about her at the beginning of the season. How do you think she has played so far? Is she the same player you thought she would be? Has she maybe taken on a different role in the women's side? And do you know what her best position might be?
Well, to be honest, when she signed for Chelsea, I didn't know much about her. I only saw her play, obviously, after in the Women's World Cup with Norway, but I never watched her play before. So I didn't know what to expect from her. I knew she was a very creative player, and she was she had a great like work rate and running. So that's all I knew. And then seeing her play, she started all the games this season for Chelsea, and she's the one with the most assist. Like, she's a top player, very creative, very nice to watch. She usually plays on the left, and I think it's her best position, especially when she plays obviously with Beth and Kerr. So,
and I think mentioning her name again, it's probably been too long in this podcast already to not mention Chelsea women's standout performer of the season, Beth England. 13 goals scored, 3 assists, averaging a goal every 95 minutes. And just actually January's player of the month as well for the league. So, I mean, what else can we say about Beth England right now, Gene, that can't be said other than that she is absolutely Chelsea women's best player at the moment?
Yeah, I think she's the best player. She's the best number 9 in the league. Emma Hayes said it recently. And, you know, there's this little battle sometimes with Medina from Arsenal. And I think she's definitely of her level, if not better, you know. She's got 13 goals this season, and she's going to score many more. And I hope she's going to be the first choice Phil Neville squad with the Lionesses. She deserves it.
Oh, it's interesting too for a player of her caliber, Gene, that she's not getting enough attention from the England squad, but Emma Hayes chose to bring in another prolific goal scorer to give her a little bit of competition. So how do you feel like she's reacted since Sam Kerr signed for the club?
I mean, she's probably just proving everyone that she deserves to be in the starting 11 every weekend. She with Sam Kerr, they're getting on well on the pitch. So it's all good. I think she's gonna stay the top forward for the Chelsea women's team.
All right. A crowd favorite, Ji So-yoon, has been doing her thing still. 5 goals, 2 assists, right? But she's a creative engine for this team. How has her role been so far this season?
I mean, Ji, every season, she's like, there's no surprise. She's very consistent. I don't like to compare the women's players to the men's players, but I've always compared it to Eden Hazard, because, you know, when she's got the ball at her feet, it like she keeps it. You can't take it away from her. It's crazy. She can, you know, she can go through two players, move very fast with the ball and pass the ball. But like, she's just key to Chelsea's success, you know.
And when she scores just absolute worldies. she puts them in from deep. I mean, I know that she might not have her best statistical season here, Jean, probably because Girl Wrighton has taken some of the playmaking ability on herself. But how important is G for the run-in to potentially help Chelsea over the line?
Well, I mean, I think on the you know, when on the pitch you've got someone like, you know, she's on the pitch, so you feel more like safe and you've got that person to look at, you know.
She's like a security blanket almost, right? Like, just
yeah
makes you more comfortable, that's for sure. You just are more calm when she's out up there.
Yeah, because she's very good on offensive phases, but also defensively she can run back and take the ball back, you know. So yeah, she's fantastic.
Well, Dan, as we are all excited for Erin Cuthbert, having gotten to sit down and chat with her this last fall as a part of our Chelsea DNA series, she's definitely one that I think we probably pay a little more attention to than most because of that.
Yeah, 4 goals, 4 assists, all competitions. I think that, you know, she's continued to be a firecracker on the pitch when she's had the opportunity this season. Jean, how do you think she's progressed? I know, you know, earlier in the season when we started, you thought she might be one of our players of the season. How has she performed in your mind?
Well, as I thought, even though I haven't been able to watch all the matches this season because of my job, the ones I've watched where she was playing, she was the player she was last season. Very good technique, good runs. I mean, the way she sees, like, her vision on the pitch is just incredible, I think.
Do you think that her position has been impacted by any of the other additions to the squad, or do you think that in Emma Hayes' strongest squad that she is still a starting contributor?
I definitely think she's still part of Chelsea's strongest 11. But obviously having two forwards up front might not help her. But I think she'll earn a position in the squad, because whenever she plays, she just do the job. So
transitioning to one of the players that you wanted to make a special call out for in the script is a player that probably doesn't get talked about as much as some of the others that we've mentioned here. But Sophie Ingle has done a really, really good job this year and has helped kind of boss from midfield or from defense, just depending on where she's being asked to play. But could you talk a little bit about Sophie Ingle and her contribution?
Well, I think she's one of the best in the league first at her position. Like, that goal she scored against Arsenal, I think, went everywhere on social media. And I was so happy for her because she's so underrated. I think it's just like her rate, and she's very underrated. And even though she's not, you know, the most offensive player on the pitch, she's a key player to Chelsea's success every game, because she's the one who will just take the ball and she's very clean as well, you know, like tackling. And
yeah, she's so reliable for the team, and in that position in the midfield, she just keeps everyone organized in front of her, which I think is important for them, and it just makes their lives so much easier. But I, you know, I have noticed we pretty much are only talking about attacking players, Jean. How's the defense doing as a whole? Are there any standout players that we should be aware of or keeping an eye on that we haven't discussed?
Well, Chelsea's been, they've used the kind of same four at the back, you know. It was Henderson, who's done a very good job this season so far. Henderson, then it's Bright, Eriksen, and Milder, yeah. Even though recently Blendl went back in the starting 11, so Milder had to move up in the lineup. But yeah, the four of them are very organized, and you know, is Berger in goal as well, who I thought wouldn't be as good as this, to be honest. You know, replacing Lindahl is never easy. But yeah, Eriksen, Bright, obviously Eriksen is the captain. She's doing the job. Bright, I don't know if you remember, but I think I mentioned it in the last podcast. She's one of my personal favorite. She's so solid. Like, her tackles are just fantastic. It's impressive. Yeah, I think the back line is doing very well as well.
I love it. I'm a goalkeeper. I love the defense. I love that this team is just clicking on all cylinders. But Dan, unfortunately, there's one name that we have omitted, probably in all the biggest name on this team. And sadly, it's Super Fran.
Yeah, due to injury. So not long after the World Cup, suffering an ankle injury that disrupted the season's start. She's only made four appearances, last of which was against Manchester United. It was the 1-0 win in November. She also has been kind of struck with maybe a strange virus that's kept her bedridden. The direct quote from her was that, "I'll be taking a step back from social media as I try to allow myself the best possible chance to recover properly from this illness and get back on the pitch ASAP. This virus has really hit me hard. You haven't heard much from me on social as I haven't felt like I've wanted to post things about myself in a positive light apart from the dogs!" I guess the two questions maybe, Gene, would be, one, were you expecting that this Chelsea women's team would have performed as well without Fran Kirby in the lineup? And two, how much better will we be when she gets back?
Well, honestly, I don't really know. Like, when I heard that she was going to be out for this long, I was obviously upset because she's, if not the most, I mean, some care arrived, but if not the most famous player of Chelsea, you know, and she's been the star player as well for the years she's been at the club. So my question now is, what's going to happen when she's going to come back and you have Sam Kerr, Bethany England, Ramona Backman, Gil Rayton? I just wonder what's going on in Em Hay's head. Like, I don't know how she's going to do.
She's going to play six attackers.
Yeah, I was about
three mids and then one deep sweeper.
But yeah, that's crazy to see that even without her, Chelsea are performing so well. Obviously, I knew the Chelsea team wasn't all about Fran Kirby, but she was a very important player of the squad. But it's good to see that Chelsea are still doing well, if not better, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. I know we all wish her well, obviously. I hope she's back sooner rather than later. Another one who just came back, though, is Maria Thora's daughter. I know that she's played a little bit of midfield this year, a little bit of defense. Can you talk a little bit about her and what she might bring to the squad now that she's back from injury?
Honestly, Thursday. It's good that she's back, but I don't think she'll, with all the players Chelsea already have, I don't think she'll be a first choice for Emma Hayes. But okay. She's good. It's a good, how do you say, is it depth?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like a super sub. She's very solid. She reminds me of Millie Bright, kind of, you know, with the height, you know, the strength and everything. So she'll definitely be a good asset coming on in games.
I love it. And we're going to get into all the competitions and the trophies that the Chelsea women are hunting very soon. And to your point, like, Thorstadtir will be a huge part of that, which is important because I'm pretty sure Emma wants to win everything under the sun, which is a clear sign by her signings. But before we get into those competitions, there's a recent news article that came out about Emma Hayes revolutionizing performance. And it's just talking about how Chelsea, I think this is really, really cool to see. We just talked about how Manchester United just got their women's team very recently. Some big teams still don't have one. And here at Chelsea, not only having one, investing in one, Sam Kerr is a huge intent from this club. That's on the pitch. Chelsea are investing off the pitch in researching performance science for their squad. So an exclusive report by the Telegraph revealed that factoring in the menstrual cycle to training and nutrition patterns of each player has helped control the weight fluctuations of players during the cycle, and it has helped reduce susceptibility to soft tissue injuries linked to menstruation, such as ACL damage, which is huge. The ability to stay healthy, and not only stay healthy, but at, you know, at 80% and above in your kind of physical peak performance is massive. And I just, Nick, I'm so thrilled to just see articles like this coming out about the club pushing the boundaries on and off the pitch, especially in the women's game, which is widely considered, you know, underdeveloped.
Yeah, my favorite quote here, Gene, is, "It's fair to say I'm a female coach in an industry where women have always been treated like small men," which is, you know, if you've ever listened to one of her interviews, is kind of classic Emma Hayes in terms of her sense of humor. But maybe could you talk a little bit about this and what this might mean for women's football and training methods moving forward?
Yeah, well, I've also seen this article online, and it's a good surprise. I think it's the U.S. women's national team that did something similar during the World Cup in France. And that's good to see that Chelsea are the first. Are they the first one in the, like, domestic clubs?
Yes,
it appears so. Yeah.
Yeah, it appears so.
So it's good to be the leading club, kind of doing this, and it's good to know that obviously women are made different compared to men, and a lot of things can impact their performance of the pitch. So it's good that they're actually investing in something to help them be at their best, you know, give them consideration. And it shouldn't be like a taboo kind of topic, you know. I feel like people don't want to talk about it, but it's actually reality and everyone know about it. So,
well, and that was kind of her closing quote here. She said the application of anything from rehab to strength and conditioning to tactical all come from the basis of what the men do. The starting point is that we are women, and ultimately we go through something very different to men on a monthly basis. So it's just incredibly, I think, thought-provoking and something that we should watch moving forward. But I think the coolest part of this is that she recognized this 3 years ago in the FA Cup final, and they have been pushing for this ever since. So this has been kind of a longer-term project, and it's really, really cool from a research and development perspective.
Oh, that's so exciting. Again, it's one of those things where, like, we can look at Chelsea in the big picture of the landscape, obviously with the anti-Semitism campaigns pushing women's football. It gives a sense of pride in the club, I think, that we can all share in wherever we're at and whatever teams we support. So kudos to you, Chelsea. I'm loving that they're getting a ton of recognition in the media for it, because it's well-deserved. But we are going to take a quick break. When we're back, we're going to cover all the competitions, the performance to date this season. We're going to talk about all the trophies that Chelsea could win and where we're at in the race and the hunt for those. So thank you to the sponsor for supporting the podcast financially. We will be right back. 2019-2020 season performance to date. Let's, Dan, take a look at how this season is going, kicking it off with the gaffer herself.
Yeah, she's got a great quote here in that we can win different ways. It's definitely a sign of great team, but time will tell. So Emma Hayes hedging her bets just a bit.
I heard treble. Did anyone else?
Oh, of course, of course. Well, not it's still on the table. It is not out of the realm of possibility, but as it looks right now, we'll kind of go right into the WSL. And Chelsea currently undefeated in the league. The comment was from the club website, Emma Hayes believes Chelsea FC women are showing signs of being a great team, having now stretched our unbeaten run to an impressive 22 games this season, with the latest victory coming against Birmingham City on Wednesday night. Just a fun little top line. They have recorded massive results, including beating Arsenal twice, including a 4-1 away win, beating City at home, beating Reading at home. With all of that said, and with where Chelsea are at today, with a game in hand, 38 points behind, 1 point behind Man City, who've played 15 to our 14 at 39 points. How do you feel about that, Gene, thinking about this season so far?
I think it's all positive, even though they did drop 4 points against Liverpool and Brighton, because they drew 1-0 against these two teams. Other than that, what else can you ask? They've won all the other game. So they've actually scored 23 goals in the last five games. Winning 8-0 against West Ham is just unbelievable. Sadly, it can also show the differences with the teams in the in this league. But I think winning, for me, the biggest game was winning against Arsenal 4-1 away, because it automatically reminded me of that match I actually went to when Chelsea lost 5-0 at home last season. And that's actually the game when you knew Arsenal were going to win the WSL. So this time Chelsea went to Arsenal and scored 4 goals. So I think it's a massive confidence boost as well for the team. And I think they're doing well. They're scoring a lot of goals, clean sheets as well. So it's all good for now.
44 goals scored, which is the most. 8 goals against, which is the second fewest. City has 6 against. Plus 36 goal difference is the best in the league. So as you said, Gene, they're doing as much as they humanly possibly can. And the fact that they're 1 point behind obviously stings a bit, but they have to be riding such a high level of confidence. But Nick, it's not done. We've got a big one, like probably the potentially title deciding match coming up this month yet, February 23rd.
Yeah, this league kind of now feels a little bit like the Premier League last year, where you had City and Liverpool just swapping spots every week. But Chelsea are obviously away to Man City next week, Gene. You know, obviously, I think if Chelsea were to beat City, you know, that could be a real statement of intent from the club that they're going to win the title. But how big is this match? Is this the biggest one of the season, or was that 4-1 against Arsenal still number one in your mind?
I think all the next matches are going to be very important, because obviously City is probably the toughest opponent you have until the end of the season, and it's away as well. So I think if Chelsea win that match, I think they have 90% of chance to actually win the league this season. That's my own opinion. Obviously Chelsea, I think they have a game to play still. Like, they have one game less than City.
Yeah, they have a game in hand that has to be made up from the winter storm. So, yeah, I mean, it's a huge one, Dan, because, you know, again, we beat City in the return fixture. So for us, you know, I think we're looking at this and saying Chelsea win their game in hand, they're 2 points clear of City. If they beat City at home, that would extend it to 5. That seems like a tough gap to overcome if you're City or Arsenal.
Well, it's the 6-pointer, right? Yep. You know, you end up getting 3 points that they 3 points that they, you know, are not able to claim. And you know, when you think about the remaining competition, we've got Everton, we've got Tottenham, Brighton, Reading, Everton again, and then Liverpool as kind of our remaining matches for the league calendar. So I mean, it's, again, there's some tough teams in there. I think if we're looking at it, Gene, is Reading probably the other tough team on that list, considering that they're also in the top 4 right now?
Yeah, I was actually going to say, when I said that all the matches coming up are going to be very important, is because, for example, Chelsea drew against Liverpool in 2019, you know. They drew against Brighton as well. So everything's possible. And obviously Reading is probably the toughest opponent they're going to face. But let's not forget that even if the teams like Brighton or Everton, for example, are not as good in the league table, they're still tough opponents to play. And it'd be good not to fall for this kind of, smaller teams, if you get what I mean. Reading, it was actually Sam Kerr's first game with Chelsea, because they won 3-1, if I remember well. But Reading took the lead, early in the match. So, you know, Chelsea scored, I think, at the 40th minutes after that. So Reading are a very good side, and they drew against Chelsea in the Conti Cup, I think, in December. 1-1-0. So, you know.
That was the only match that Chelsea's women's team lost this year, and that was on penalties, I think, in the group stages. So
yeah, but they'll definitely give a good battle. You know, they're not a team to underestimate. And even Everton, you know, playing Everton twice. They have a very good squad as well, and it's going to be tough. But obviously, City is going to be the main game. And if you look, Reading also, yeah.
So, will Liverpool have to provide Chelsea women with a guard of honor? Huh? What do you think, Jean?
I hope so. Nah, honestly, I think if they keep playing the way that they've been doing in the last matches, you know, I think they can definitely take the trophy back home.
Oh, well, I love that. And obviously, that would be one trophy. The other one, Dan, is a well-known FA Cup trophy that Chelsea are dead in the middle of hunting this one down. I am excited about this one.
Well, again, we talked about it earlier. The treble is on. So it's just about making
here comes
sure we
trouble.
Try together.
Any office fans? Anyone?
Wow. We're gonna pause Brandon. Hey. We're gonna cancel him for the rest of the season. I think the question would be, especially after beating Charlton Athletic's women's team 4-0 in the fourth round of the Women's FA Cup, how important or how likely do you think Chelsea will kind of continue to advance in that competition, considering that the next team up, Gene, is Liverpool?
Well, Liverpool is obviously going to be a tough match, like I said, in the league. But I think Emma Hayes will go for every trophy possible this season. You know, Chelsea are not in the Champions League this season. They kind of have that revenge to take on. They can beat Liverpool. I don't know if they're going to use the young players like they did against Charlton. Obviously, it's not the same level. But hopefully, they'll win it as well and do a treble.
Right, and I think that was the question I wanted to ask is, especially in these early rounds of the FA Cup, you know, does Emma Hayes have the ability to rotate her squad a little bit, Gene, knowing that there are a lot of matches coming up?
Well, against Charlton, I didn't watch the match because it wasn't online or I couldn't find it. But I know that she used Murphy, for example. Murphy, I don't know if you've heard about her. She scored the first league goal against West Ham. She's only 16. she's playing a lot. I mean, she's played two games now and she started that match against Charlton, for example. You've got Napier. I don't know if you say it that way. Yep. You've got Wardlow and Fleming, but I think she was a substitute, something. But yeah, she Telford was playing, obviously, in goal, like usual. But yeah, she was able to rotate the squad against Liverpool. I don't know what she's going to decide to do, but hopefully she'll give the chance to a young player like Murphy, who's been performing very well recently, and Napier as well.
We talked about squad depth a little bit ago. So this is where I think Emma has really looked to improve the squad, obviously with a couple top-end players, but also fill it out for these in-between matches. And look, obviously having to play Liverpool in the next round is probably not the easiest. You know, they are struggling in the league. So these are those opportunities for clubs to find a bright spot. And anytime you get clubs as big as Chelsea and Liverpool playing each other, they're going to take it seriously, and it's not going to be as easy as just roll through. So I think that, you know, this will be a good kind of litmus test for Emma Hayes, the team of the season, and kind of see where it goes. But Nick, the third potential trophy to round out the treble hunt would be
the Conti Cup or the Continental Tires Cup.
Not Antonio?
This is, no, not Antonio Conti. No. This is another one, Gene, that it, obviously Chelsea are in the final after they beat Manchester United in the semifinal. They're playing, you know, everyone's favorite team to hate, Arsenal, which is, you know, I think will be a tough match. But how are you feeling about Chelsea's chances in the final? I know that you, in our season preview, you kind of mentioned that this was the competition that had kind of evaded Chelsea in terms of being able to win it. Are you feeling more confident now?
Yeah, I mean, he's still Arsenal you're playing. So playing a London derby in a final of a cup is amazing, I think. Obviously, the two teams know each other quite well now. So I think it's 50-50. Like, I obviously want Chelsea to leave the trophy, but I think it's going to be a tough one.
And that one's coming up at the end of February. Aaron Cuthbert and Beth England have been kind of the top performers in this competition. It's a final. You would anticipate, right, Jean, that Emma Hayes would go all out and play her strongest side, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's also because Chelsea never won that cup, you know. So it's always been Arsenal and Manchester City. So it's time to put the blue badge on it.
Big 2 weeks. You've got Man City on the 23rd, the Conte Cup final on the 29th against Arsenal. That definitely doesn't make it easy, especially when we said that City match is obviously so important in the league race. I mean, this is what it is all about again, Gene, and seeing. I love that Aaron Cuthbert and Bethany England are both tied for top performers and goal scorers in this one. The match will be at Nottingham Forest Stadium, so it is a neutral ground. But holy smokes, what a huge 2 weeks for this women's team. How do you think they're going to do with City and Arsenal and a cup final back-to-back? Do you think they'll be able to have two full-strength squads in both matches?
I think they're going to do everything to have the best players, obviously, on the pitch. It's very complicated, to be honest, when you think about it. I don't know. I don't know what she's going to prioritize. So.
Yeah.
Getting back into the Champions League, at least when we talked at the beginning of the season, was the priority, right? So you would have to imagine that is still the priority, correct?
Yeah, obviously. Because when you look at their run in the Champions League last season, losing against Lyon in the semi-final, being so close to reach for the first time the final of that cup, they're made for that competition, you know? So obviously, Emma Hayes has been at the club for a long time now, and I think the next step is just to win that Champions League.
Man, that's the one. That's the one that they are definitely building for. So anyways, hey Dan, remember when you made us make predictions? You mean person.
Yeah, Gene, I don't know if you are aware of this, but at the beginning of the season when we did our women's team predictions, we also did predictions about the men's team. And Brandon, the day before David Luiz signed for Arsenal,
this is unrelated, said that
David Luiz would have the most minutes for the Chelsea men's team this season.
Well done,
unrelated and just an opportunity for you to take a pot shot.
Yes, 100%. But we also made some predictions with you on the podcast about how Chelsea's women's team would do this season. And we wanted to see if you wanted to revise or update your predictions based upon how the team is doing currently. So Chelsea finishing the season in the women's league, you had said that they would finish second place, I think, believe to Arsenal. Are you willing to, or do you want to update your choice there?
Yeah, of course. I think Chelsea are going to finish top.
Ah, yeah.
Finish top.
Love it.
All right, that's one trophy. The next one we asked you was, how many trophies domestically would we win this season? And you'd said the FA Cup is the one we'd win. Do you still think that's the one we'll win, or do you want to revise?
Well, now that Chelsea are in the final of the Conte Cup, I think I'll say that they're going to win the Conte Cup first.
I love it. And,
yeah, FA Cup, I don't know. It probably was the final or semi-final.
Okay, so then we'll go Conte Cup and FAWSL league title.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
It's a quality double. You can do that. That's good.
But I'm sure they can do the FA Cup as well. Let's just see how it goes.
Are you predicting treble on the podcast? Is that what's happening?
Maybe.
That's a new song. We'll need a new treble song. Yeah. I love it.
You also, and I think, are extraordinarily correct in this prediction that Beth England would be our top scorer for the season. So well done. It's not remotely close, so I think you're locked in on that one.
Yeah.
And then lastly, you said we asked, who do you think will be our best player? And thankfully, you said, G, England or Cuthbert, and you went Cuthbert. So how are you feeling about that right now?
I think she's still good, but she, I mean, I'd probably put Rayton in that, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because, as I said, I didn't know really what she was capable of before, and now seeing her play, you know, she's one of the top players of the team.
Oh, that is such... That's great.
Sam Kerr probably will finish in this, but we don't know yet.
We'll give her the rest of the season, right? Let her adapt and adjust. Yeah. But next season, Sam, we're counting on you. Great. Dan, that's kind of where we're at.
Well, it is super exciting to talk about a team that is absolutely 100% dominant in everything they're doing. And there has been little or no surprise or roller coaster of emotions like the men's team has been this season. The women's team is just refreshing. It's dominant. It's a joy to behold, Nick.
It is. And Gene, obviously, thank you for joining us again on the podcast. We're super excited to talk to you. Where can our listeners find you and your women's team insights moving forward?
Well, thank you for having me first. And, okay, well, on my Twitter. So it's at Jeanne.Lolichon.
Perfect. We'll post it. All right. Well, again, Chelsea fans, go to Twitter. Thank Jeanne for jumping on and helping us walk through the women's team. And if you have been living under a rock this season, go watch them. Check them out. You can do it on the FAWSL website for free. Watch all of the matches. The women's team are way more accessible and able to get a hold of than a lot of the men's content and the youth content. So treat yourself to a team in the hunt for the treble, second place in the league, Conti Cup final, FA Cup. They are in the mix. It is great. If you enjoyed this, let us know. We really want to hear about how you connect with the women's team. But until next time, Chelsea fans, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.